Open your King James Bible, please, to 1 Timothy chapter number 1, verse number 4, for study number 22. This Bible study is titled 1 Timothy, study number 22-Heed. Let's pray. Father, give us divine wisdom. Touch us from above. Open our minds of understanding. Lord, anoint our mind and heart today to preach. And I pray, God, you might help us to teach these lessons, loose our tongue for thy name's sake and for the glory of God. In Jesus' name we humbly pray. Amen. Now, reading today in 1 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse number 4 for our text verse, the Bible said, "Neither giving heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do." In our last study, which was study number 21, we looked at the word doctrine in verse number 3. In this study, which is study number 22, we will continue with our study into this book of 1 Timothy, and this study will be in verse number 4. I reserve the right to go back and add a few lessons to the first three verses if the Holy Spirit nudges me. This fourth verse is a continuation of verse number 3 and is also part of the first charge Paul has given Timothy in verse 3 to give to the church. We will do a breakdown of this verse so we may be able to understand it easily. There are four statements in this verse divided by punctuation. We will look at these individual statements as we go along in our studies. These studies are designed to help you understand and have a working knowledge of the Word of God. They're designed to teach and train you in the Scriptures and not to impress you of what we know or even think we know. These lessons are an accumulation of over 50 years of pastoring and preaching in churches and dealing with people and trying to answer their questions. I'm a simple-minded preacher and won't explain the meaning of the Word of God as simply as I possibly can. The four statements of verse number 4 are as follows. Number 1, we see the phrase there, "Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, comma." That's the first one. The second statement is, "Which minister questions," and there's another comma. And then the third statement is, "Rather than godly edifying, which is in faith," and there's a colon behind that. And so the fourth statement is, "So do," period. So these are separated by punctuation. Now remember, I already told you in a previous lesson that when I look at a new verse for the first time, I analyze the persons, the places, and the things of interest in that verse. The breakdown of the characters, the places, and the special things in verse number 4 are as follows. The first thing is the persons. Now the persons or characters in verse number 4 are first, Paul, you see, he's the writer under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Second, God the Holy Ghost, who is the author. Third, Timothy, who is the recipient of the book. And fourth, it's the church, which is the recipient of the charge. Now, the second thing we want to notice is the place. And the place in this fourth verse is the place of Ephesus, where Paul has asked Timothy to abide while he goes into Macedonia. And we saw this in lesson number 3, or verse number 3. And so we know it's Ephesus. Now the third thing we want to notice are the special words in verse number 4. And the special words are words like fables, endless genealogies, questions, and godly edifying. We'll look at these words and phrases in our studies as we come to them. In the first part of verse number 4, actually the first word, is the word neither. It means not or nor. And this word, neither or neither, as some people might say, if you want to call it that, is a continuation of verse number 3. This word neither joins these two verses together. If we put these or put the last part of verse number 3 and the first part of verse number 4, we find that Paul is telling Timothy this. He's saying, charge some that they teach no other doctrine, comma, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies. So we see that this is verse 4, is a continuation of this first charge of 1 Timothy, and he's been charged by Paul to give to the church. Now the church is advised not only to teach no other doctrine, but also to not give heed to fables and endless genealogies. We could call this a negative charge. They are to teach no other doctrine, and neither give heed to fables. So you see, both of them are in the negative. We'll try for the next little while to look at what all this means. In our previous lessons, we've established what doctrine is. Doctrine is what we believe. It's what we hold to. And it's what we build our lives upon. We'll now try to explain what fables are. Before we do, though, we want to look at the meaning of some of the words in verse number 4 to help us understand what Paul is talking about. We'll first look at the word heed. You see that word heed? He says, and neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies. Now we look at that word heed. The word heed means to pay attention to. It means to listen to take note of, to observe, to notice, to regard, and the like. From verse number 3, we have found that there were some who were capable of teaching other doctrine that Paul had not taught them. These same individuals were also capable of giving heed or listening to and taking note of fables that were being rolled around among some of them. They were considered to be capable of teaching these fables to the people and dividing the church. Now, Paul was concerned about that. So Paul is charging Timothy to preach the word of God so as to stop these from getting a foothold in the assembly. Let me give you a short outline using the word heed. During the course of years, I preached an alliterative message a few times using the letter H. Here it is. Point number 1, we need to hear the word of God. Point number 2, we need to heed the word of God. Point number 3, we need to herald or tell forth the word of God. Point number 4, we need to hallow or hold it holy, the word of God. And number 5, we need to hold to the word of God. That is an alliterative message starting with the letter H. Now the word heed is mentioned 80 times in the Bible and is found in the Old Testament and also in the New Testament. We'll not look at all 80 times this word's used, but we will basically look at the times the Apostle Paul uses this word in our current studies. This word heed is a command to either do something or to refrain from doing something. Paul warns us in Acts chapter number 20 and verse 28 and 29. He says, take heed. There it is. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Here Paul is given a command for the overseers or the preachers to take heed and see the responsibility they had in preaching to stop these grievous wolves from overtaking the flock. He's given them a command to take note of where they are and what they're doing and what's going on around them. And the responsibility has been placed upon them. He's trying to get them to see the huge responsibility that God has placed upon them to preach the word of God and not waver in preaching it. Now Paul said he knew without a doubt that these grievous wolves would come in and destroy what he and the other men of God had established and given their whole life to protect and declare. Oh, how important it is for the men of God to declare and stand for the doctrines we've been taught and learned from the Word of God. Preacher, are you standing for the truth? Are you faithful to declare the whole counsel of the Word of God? Do you let things slip or turn your head to keep from facing opposition or maybe from hurting somebody's feelings? Do you have a real desire to stand for God? Are you just floating down the stream, so to speak, trying to not make any waves? If so, bow your head and your heart right now, this very moment, and ask God to forgive you and let Him empower you to stand like you've never stood before and preach as you've never preached before. Christian friend, let me ask you, do you hold to the Scriptures in all that you do? Do you allow the Word of God to speak and to control your thoughts, to control your lifestyle and control your family? If not, why don't you bow your head and heart and ask God right now to take charge of your life and allow the Holy Spirit to direct and control your life completely, 100%. Paul gives us another command to take heed how we build upon Jesus Christ, our foundation. And it's found in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, verses 10 and 11. Paul said, "According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed," there it is, "take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." In this verse, Paul has given us a command to take heed how we build upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. We're to build our spiritual lives on this foundation. We will be rewarded or we will suffer loss by how we build upon this foundation. Where we're going to have to face God at the judgment bar one of these days. Paul gives us the building materials we're to build with upon this foundation. They're found in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. Paul said, "Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble." Then he goes on to say, "Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is." Gold, silver, and precious stones are representative of our good works and our good deeds. All three of these will survive the fire of judgment. Gold won't burn, silver won't burn, and precious stones won't burn. The shape of them might change, but they'll still be gold and silver and precious stones. We will be rewarded with this building material if it stands, and that's what we have our lives built with, gold and silver and precious stones. Now, there are three more materials with which we can build upon this foundation. They are wood, hay, and stubble. All three of these will not stand the fire of judgment. They'll go up in smoke. These are typical of our bad works, and we will not suffer reward, but we will suffer loss using these materials to build our lives on. Now, we're not saved by our works. We're saved by grace through faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, plus nothing and minus nothing. These building materials are not to obtain our salvation or to keep our salvation. These building materials are for us to receive rewards that we can receive and give to the Lord Jesus and crown Him King of Kings and Lord of Lords if we're faithful to Him. There are five crowns in the Word of God that a child of God can win at the judgment seat of Christ in order to cast them at His feet later. We'll not go into this any further into this subject right now because we're dealing with the word heed. I'll give you another one. And he says Paul gives us a command to take heed that we become a stumbling block, lest we become a stumbling block and hurt some who are weak in the faith. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9 and 10 said, "But take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. For if any man see thee, which hast knowledge, sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols?" My time has come and gone. We hope this lesson number 22 has been a blessing and an encouragement. Now help to your soul. Allow the Holy Spirit to let it soak in and stir your life. God bless you. Amen and amen.